Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ, a podcast about everyday life from the spiritual, the physical, and the metaphysical perspective. Each week, I'll bring you episodes that have a casual, laid-back, informal, and spontaneous look at this thing we call life. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. Now let's get started. Hello, 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 my friends, and welcome, welcome, welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ. And today, my beautiful guest, Brisa Alfaro. Hello, my friend.
Hi.
So glad to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Bet. Yes. So those of you that are just joining, come on in, say hello, let us know you're with us. You can hear us and see us, and we're all good. Brisa's had a little bit of technical difficulty. So whenever that happens, you know, we kind of freak out for a minute and then we go, it is what it is. So we're here and it is what it is. We can hear her and see her, and that's what matters, because we're going to be able to hear her message. And this gal has got a beautiful story to share. So I want to start just by sharing a little bit of your information, Brisa, so everybody knows a little bit of your background, and then we're going to dig in. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So Brisa is an author. Is it Pons? Is that how I say it?
Pons.
Okay. I probably should have asked that first. See, if I was very professional, I would have asked in advance, but I didn't, because I'm not very professional. So Brisa is an author, Pons stroke survivor, inspirational speaker, and recovery coach. Her story has been covered internationally and globally by the likes of The Washington Post, Women's World Magazine, The Doctors TV Show, and on Lisa Nichols' international stages. As a result of Brisa sharing her story of overcoming extreme odds, she now helps those that are struggling to find their strength and courage beyond their circumstances. Igniting hope and resiliency, Brisa inspires people that need to push past any limiting belief in their own lives by tapping into the power of their own thoughts. Love it. That gives me goosebumps. I love it.
Thank you.
All right, my friend. So for those of us that don't know the story, I was just telling Brisa, a lot of times I don't like to read a lot because I want this to be interactive and I want to get to know her like you guys are getting to know her. So for those of us that don't know your story, why don't you tell us, because you're very young. So, and your stroke was quite a while ago. So that was, I mean, you were young. So can you tell us a little bit about your story?
So yeah, I was 32 years old and I was a busy girl. Like, going back to who I was before my stroke, I was working and I was traveling. I worked in the beauty industry. I was in New York City actually when it happened. And I was there for a beauty convention, and that was my industry. And I knew that I had to stay busy because I had a lot to give. Mm-hmm. So I thought that because I have a lot to give, I have to do a lot. Mm-hmm. So I filled every single moment of free time with more things that I did for people, for myself, for others. Like, I always was always doing and going, and I really rarely settled down. Mm-hmm. And so I think the universe settled me down.
That's the way it works, right?
Yeah. So I was getting ready for work, and I noticed that I was having an allergic reaction to something. And so I found myself a couple hours later in a New York City hospital, and I thought it was just allergies. Mm-hmm. And I went in, and they checked me out, and I was sitting in the hospital room, and my doctors came in the room and they were checking on me and working on me. And I'm thinking, this is not that big of a deal. I got allergies. It's not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there, and somebody else comes in the emergency room, and it was a car accident. And it was a young boy, and he was in much worse shape than I was. At least I thought he was. Mm-hmm. But yet the doctors were not leaving my side. And I didn't understand why they weren't, you know, they were not helping him. I was fine. And they just kept working on me. And then they started talking about me and asking questions about me. And I was responding, but nobody would pay attention to anything I said. So they would talk to each other. And this was going on for a while, and I didn't understand it. And then finally, fast forward later, I realized that it's not that those doctors were not listening to what I was trying to say is that those doctors didn't hear me because I wasn't speaking, because I had already had my stroke and I had already suffered something called locked-in syndrome, where I was essentially locked in my own body and unable to communicate with the outside world. Mm-hmm. So things could come in, but I couldn't express that they were coming in.
But internally, you felt like you were expressing it.
So yes.
It felt like you were getting your message out, but like everybody's just ignoring you.
Yes. Huh. That's exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking they were ignoring me, thinking that they were, you know, talking amongst themselves and not asking me. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to answer for them. And it was just not getting through to them. And it wasn't getting through to them because I wasn't physically speaking.
Right.
So, and I didn't realize that until later. Mm-hmm. So then fast forward a few days later, and I end up in New York City in New York City Presbyterian, something like that. So it was a stroke center. And they called my mom and my family to come out from California. They came to California to see me. And they had no idea how bad it was. But they got there, and it was a surprise for everyone, because basically the doctors had told them that your daughter has a less than 1% chance to survive. So you should start calling your family and friends and everybody out to start saying your goodbyes. And my mother disagreed. My mother was like not having it. Mm-hmm. So as much as the doctors were telling her and everybody was telling her, like, these are the odds, this is the type of stroke she has. So most people that have strokes, it affects a certain side of your body, the left side or the right side. But mine happened in the middle and it affected my pons. Mm-hmm. So that means that everything that's in your brain stays in your brain. And when you want to communicate, there's a roadblock there. Mm-hmm. And it's unable to travel through to the rest of your body. So now you can't move your arms and legs. You can't speak. You can't breathe. You can't do any of those things. So imagine it's like your thoughts are stuck in this town and cannot get out.
Sure.
And that's what I was working on. Like I'm trying to get through, but I couldn't find a way. It was very frustrating.
I bet. I can't even imagine. Were you intubated?
I was intubated. I have a scar on my neck. Yep. So I was intubated and, trached, or yeah, I was intubated, yeah, trached, and then I was pegged. I had a feeding tube. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So fast forward, my mom is there at the hospital. The doctors are giving her notice, you know, about what's going on. My mom was disagreeing with them. She started doing things that were probably not what the doctors thought was going to heal me, but she knew it was going to heal me. Mm-hmm. And what she did was play memories, things like music. She would play music that I grew up listening to. Mm-hmm. She would tell me stories. She mm-hmm. would talk to me. She would tell me to focus all my energy on one certain part of my body that she was touching. So if she would say, you know, she's touching my arm, do I feel her touching my arm? And you know, she was just trying to get me to connect with it. Mm-hmm. And then
did your eyes or anything move, Brisa? So did you have any way to be able to, outside of just the mother-daughter connection, right? Because she could feel your spirit, obviously.
Right.
She knew.
There wasn't a way visually. There was nothing. I mean, not that anybody else would notice, only a mother. Mm-hmm. Only a mother would notice. Mm-hmm. And so she noticed that I was connecting to her voice. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how, because I wasn't moving.
Right.
But she's a mom. So she knew.
And her spirit knew, for sure. For sure.
Right. So I'm lying in the hospital bed and my mom's doing all these things. And one thing she did for me was she played an audiobook, and that audiobook was The Secret. And I'm sure you know The Secret. Wow. Secret focuses on the law of attraction, and what you focus on grows. So I'm listening to this audiobook and she has no idea that I can actually hear what I'm listening to.
Right.
But
and
I heard
like comprehend it.
And
still.
Comprehend it. Yeah. But because I had locked in syndrome, my brain was still intact. my body was not. So I could understand everything that was I was listening to. But one thing that stood out to me while I was listening to that audio was the voice of Lisa Nichols. Mm-hmm. She's in the book. And she said, the first step is to ask, to make a command to the universe and let the universe respond to your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, that's all I had. Mm-hmm. All I had was my thoughts.
Right.
I didn't have my mobility. Mm-hmm. I didn't have anything else. All I had was my thoughts. So all I had to do was clean them up. Yeah. And that's what I did. I cleaned up my thoughts. I never, ever let any doubt enter my mind. Mm-hmm. And if it ever did, I let it sit there for a second and I never let it marinate. Mm-hmm. I let it go.
Right.
I let it go.
Did you, in the letting go, did you replace it with like your intention of I'm going to move or I'm going to like, did you have yes. a vision? Did you have an affirmation? What was it within your mind that you moved it to? Because a lot of people that just have everyday typical struggles, like I'm worried about not paying the rent, they get stuck. So what was it that you did that literally was able to begin to create that connection again?
So for me, I needed to show my family a sign. I needed to show the doctors a sign. Everybody needed to see a sign sure. that I was still in my body and I was no longer locked in and I was going to be okay. Mm-hmm. For me, that came to me while my family was all kind of in the room and they were talking and I wanted to be a part of that conversation, but I couldn't. Mm-hmm. I was getting frustrated because I wanted to be a part of the conversation. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. I have water, babe. And then I was very frustrated. I wanted to talk and I couldn't. So what had happened was my mom noticed a flicker of my pinky. And she was like, I think she's moving. She's moving on command. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I have trach issues.
No problem.
So she's like, she's moving on command. I think you need to go check her. She's telling the doctors. And the doctors are like, no, I'm sorry. Those movements are involuntary. Mm-hmm. My mom's like, no, I think she's moving. And I was moving. Mm-hmm. I was trying so hard to move. And they didn't understand it. And they were just, no, ma'am, those movements are involuntary. I know you want to believe it, but they're involuntary. And how many times does that happen to us in life?
Yes.
When we are trying so hard to make something happen mm-hmm. and everybody on the outside, not everybody, but some people on the outside will say, you know, it's not working. You're not going to do it. It's probably
not going to make it.
You're probably going to fail. Like, yeah, why would you want to try? Yeah. So at that point, my mom was like, no, you go in there and you check her. So I had my doctors and everybody, the nurses, they came back in and they were trying to check me. And they said, okay, Brisa, your mom says you're moving. Show us a sign. And they lift my hand and they're like, show us a sign. Show us a sign that you're moving and you're no longer locked in your body. And I focused all my energy on that pinky. I wanted to move my pinky again. And think of an energy beam. It was going from my brain all the way down through my neck and needed to pass that barricade in my neck, go all the way down to my arm, to my hand, to my pinky. But before it reached my pinky, it kind of stayed in my hand, mm-hmm. trying to get there to my hand, to move my hand. And just then one of the doctors said, no, she's not doing it. I'm sorry. And was about to put my hand down. But then my mom said, or the other doctor, there was another neurologist there. And he said, no, give her more time. I think she's trying. And sometimes that's all we need. Mm-hmm. We need one more person to believe in us.
For sure.
And then we start to believe in ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so I realized I needed to remove any doubt that I might have had inside of me to make my doctor see that I was moving, that I was, it was intentional. And what my mom saw was not in her imagination. So the other doctors that asked me to try it again, and there it goes. I was able to get that energy beam all the way down to my pinky, and I flickered my pinky. And with that flicker of a pinky, you would have thought it was like the Super Bowl. Everybody was jumping and screaming, the doctors, the nurses, my family. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. But that was the first step of my recovery. Yeah. Then after my arm came back my leg came back, my left side of the body, the right side came later. This is a process of years, but it first started with the flicker of my pinky.
Mm-hmm. That's just amazing. What
and a removing story. Any doubt.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's something that I absolutely have taught and believed for 20 years, 30 years that, you know, our body follows our mind and, yeah. If we are good stewards of our mind and keep it focused in the direction we want. But just like you said, what happens so often is that we hear these outside influences, especially from places of power, like your doctor, yeah. You know, that, oh, no, this isn't, it's impossible. You can't do this. And so you're proof that that's not true.
It's not.
You can do it.
You can. And that's the thing. Your mind is so powerful. So if you believe you can't, you mm-hmm. won't.
Exactly. Exactly.
But if you believe you can, you absolutely can.
Yeah.
You just have to keep believing in it and remove any doubt.
Sure.
And so that's what I focused on. I focused on my pinky moves. If I can get my pinky to move, then what else can I do?
Yeah.
So I do that now in my life, mm-hmm. in my business. I mean, what I'm doing now is so much bigger than I ever thought I was going to be doing. Mm-hmm. And if I look at the big picture, it scares me. Mm-hmm. If I look at the big picture of all the things that I need to do that goes along with my book and the having like this, having a podcast with someone when I have short-term memory, I still mm-hmm. struggle with short-term memory. Mm-hmm. I still struggle with so many things, but if I focus on all the negative, I'm going to receive more negative.
Mm-hmm.
So I choose to focus on what I can do.
Yeah.
Instead of what I can't do. And I do that by one pinky move at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't look at the big picture. I need to break it off in small chunks and just get there step by step. I'll get there.
Yeah.
But I think what hinders a lot of us is that we look at the big picture and we get scared because it's so big. How are we ever going to do that? How am I ever going to show my family a sign that I am not locked in my, how am I going to walk out of the hospital? I can't walk out until I move my pinky.
Right. And that's such a good reminder for all of you that are listening that, you know, sometimes I think that we minimize our steps. You know, I think that especially if we're kind of people that are really focused, like, okay, I just got to get to the next thing. We forget that one little baby step in front of another, well, it's brought you to where I can see that your whole body moves, right? Like it didn't at all. And so how long of a process was that for you? Because I think that's the thing that people get stuck in is how long is this going to take? And so from the perspective of here, looking back, you can go, oh my God, this is amazing. But probably when you were in it, there are times where you got really frustrated with, it's, you know, oh my God, it's going to take 5 years or 10 years. Right. Or am I ever going to get there?
You know? And those moments do come up mm-hmm. often, and they come up, you know, for everybody, they come up.
Sure.
They especially would come up for me as I was recovering. I would mm-hmm. get mad and get angry in the moment, but I learned you can get mad and you can get angry in the moment and be disappointed or whatever you got to do. Get over it though.
Mm-hmm.
Give it the time and then get over it.
Yeah.
So I have this thing where I focus on no more bad days. I focus on no more bad days because I want to believe it. I want to have no more bad days.
Mm-hmm.
I can have bad moments
yeah.
in my day,
yeah.
but I'm not going to keep having bad days because your days will turn into weeks, mm-hmm. will turn into years, and will turn into your life.
For sure.
So if we can hone in on those moments and make those moments count, I feel like it's important for us, for our own recovery and whatever we're going through. And I mean, I was, it took me years. Mm-hmm. It took me years physically to get to where I am.
Sure.
But like I said, it took me pinky moves, little bits at a time to get me to where I'm at now and mm-hmm. where I'll be later.
Right.
I mean, it's an ongoing battle.
Right. Constant, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how it is for all of us, no matter what it is, whether it's a physical disability or challenge, or whether it's a mental or emotional or spiritual or financial, it's one baby step at a time. It's a process. And I love what you said, you know, that no more bad days, because I know for me, I've taught this a lot over the years, is, and sometimes people tease me about it, but I do say this to people is, okay, I'll give you 10 minutes. 10 minutes, you can bitch, you can complain, you can cry, you can, and I'm not saying you can only cry for 10 minutes, but I'm saying, I'll give you 10 minutes right here, right now. Let's move that energy and then let's recreate. Let's redirect. Let's focus on something, not because I don't want you to feel it, but I don't want you to stay there.
Absolutely. I mean, we're all human and we have to give ourselves grace.
Yeah.
Those moments are going to come up.
For sure.
But it's about not staying in that moment. Yeah. Let the moment come up. Let it do what it needs to do, mm-hmm. and then get over it.
Yeah.
Then let it go, move on with your day. And then if it comes up again, deal with it then.
Right.
Because too many times we will have a crazy day at work and we come home, and then what happens? We have the bad day turns into we came home and now we're dealing with our children. And now we're being mean to our children because we had a bad day at work. Yeah. And then we're being mean to our husband because we had a bad day at work. Like, it shouldn't spill over into other things.
Right.
It should be that moment, get mad, get over it.
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely agree. 100%. 100%. So since then, so that was how long ago, Brisa?
That was 6 years ago.
6 years ago. That's just amazing. What an amazing miracle. I love connecting with miracles because you're one of those. So you've written a book that's almost out. You've got a little bit. You said you're in the last edits, which is always fun. And you get that big old sheet and it's got red lines through it. You're like, you know, so a month or so. So it's called Limitless.
Limitless.
And is it, yeah. is it your story, or is it steps to help people process, or?
Both. Yeah. Yeah, both. So basically I was very confused on my story when I was writing my book. I thought it had to be the whole story and I wanted to tell all the things, but I realized what helps people the most. And that's kind of what I'm all about. I want to help everyone and everyone, you know? So in my book, I realized if I just focus on one of my stories, which pretty much is all around my pinky moves and how you can get through your days just by moving your pinky. That's what my book is all about. And it's about not staying stuck mm-hmm. in what the narrative is.
Yeah.
You know, you can live your limitless life. It's sure. just a choice. Mm-hmm. You can choose to. And if you decide to keep going, you can get there. If you decide to stop, you'll never get there. Exactly. If it becomes difficult, just know that it's life. That's what we have to do. And I coach stroke survivors all the time, and stroke survivors get stuck in the difficulty of it all. Like, but I can't move my left arm, but I can't move it. Like, how do I make it move? I can't tell you exactly what steps to do, but I can help you with your mind.
Sure.
And that's the first step. Mm-hmm. And if I can help one person just with that, then I feel like I've done my job.
Absolutely. Well, and then it gives purpose to all of the challenge that you've gone through, right? Like, it gives, it makes sense. That I think a lot of times we, especially when you've had a situation that may not make sense here, you go, okay, I can serve and I can help, you know, hundreds, thousands of people. And in doing that, then the journey makes sense, and it allows me to have purpose in it, not in spite of it, but because of it.
That's right. That's perfect. But because of it.
Yeah, yeah. I love it.
I'm super excited about the book, and I actually have Lisa Nichols, the one that helped me.
Yeah, Lisa's great.
She's the one. She's writing my foreword for my book.
Oh,
so
nice.
Not
awesome.
Only did she help me, you know, recover.
Sure.
But she also is writing my forward. So
beautiful.
Super excited about that.
And if you know Lisa's story, it's kind of the same deal where she had to put one foot in front of another. And, you know, it was one step and believe in herself when she didn't necessarily, you know, she didn't necessarily have that. And, and, And that's the gift. And I love what you've shared so much for so many people, because one of the things that people do a lot, and I bet you see this, especially coaching stroke survivors, is, so my dad had a stroke many years ago, maybe 10 years ago or so, and he fully recovered. But I know when it first happened, he was in a mindset, and he's got a strong personality. He was in a mindset of, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. And so, of course,
he's fine.
Right. But for people that get stuck, people that get into the place of, you know, I don't know if you want to use the term victimhood or feeling sorry for themselves, because that happens, right? Anytime things don't go the way we want them to, we have our moments or hours, hopefully not days, you know, of feeling sorry for ourselves. Then what is your guidance to those people? Because I would imagine that comes up in the work that you do often.
Yeah, it does. So one thing that I've learned for myself is, and I have to repeat this to myself all the time, like, Lisa, sure, you don't have to move mountains. You just have to move your pinky.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I just keep remembering that, then that kind of keeps me on track. Like, I know all the things that I need to get done, and it's such a big mountain of things.
Sure.
But I don't have to move the mountain.
Yeah.
I just have to move my pinky over and over and over again, and I'll get there.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes we look at the big picture, and it scares us, and it scares us into not being in action. Mm-hmm. And I think if we just take it down to small bite-sized pieces, we can get there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. So are you familiar with Jill Bolte Taylor? Have you met her? Okay.
Yes.
So I got to spend quite a bit of time with her a few times over the last, five, 6 years ago. And she's in another amazing, inspiring story of a stroke survivor. And I remember her saying, you know, that when, and it reminds me of your story a little bit. I remember her saying that when she was having her stroke, because she's a neuroscientist.
Yeah.
I think that's correct. I might mess up. I think it's a neuroscientist. So when she was having the stroke, she was actually aware of what was happening as she was having it.
Yeah.
Right.
It was amazing. When I was reading her book, I was blown away, because she's a brain scientist.
Yes.
She's able to, she knows all the things that's going on. So as she was having it, she was studying it.
Yes.
And I mean, I think the book is called My Stroke of Insight.
Yep, that's it.
One of the first books that I read after my stroke. And it was eye-opening, because I realized, like, man, it is all in our heads. It's all in our minds.
Yes.
And we can recover to the point when we feel we're done recovering, then that's it.
Right.
We need to continue to. So I never say that I'm done recovering. Mm-hmm. I always know it's an ongoing thing.
Sure.
And I'll just, like in our businesses, it's never over. It's never just done. Mm-hmm. We're always growing. We're always learning. Yeah. And I'm doing the same thing with myself. So
yes. Well, and I think the other big piece to remember for everyone is, and you don't have to have a stroke to get there. You said that, you know, you were so busy and it was go, go, go and push and constant. And you can learn and go, okay, wait a minute. I don't have to have that in order to recognize and make the changes that you can inspire us to see that from today's point of view, wherever we are, instead of having to have something manifest to a point that, you know, the universe, like you said, the universe gets your attention.
Yeah, because that will happen.
It will.
How many times do we always say, like, why did this happen in the worst possible time?
Right.
Well, we put it out there in the world. And I mean, I'm huge on manifestation, and I'm always thinking about, if I want something, then I need to think of it in a positive form, because just as you can manifest the positive possibilities in your life, you can also manifest pretty bad ones.
Yes, you can.
And if you're focused on that, then that's what's going to happen. I mean, so many times do people say so casually, like, you're going to give yourself a stroke. You need to slow down. You need it. Like, you put it out there in the world, and you can receive it. So put out positive.
Yes.
Put out what you want to see. Mm-hmm. Put out the change and the growth that you want to see within yourself mm-hmm. before you even see it. Say right. it. Yeah. So I feel like
and that. Believe it, right? Say it and believe it. Just keep continue to bring that energy
because and then you'll receive it.
Yes, because it works both ways. I know 28 years ago, I had my son was 2 years old and he was hell on wheels. He was just a wild child. And I was a single mom. And I would say all the time, I just need a break. I just need a break. I just need a break. And I got a break. All right. I crushed my ankle to the point that it needed plates and screws and just walking, crushed my ankle and I got a break. So it's always a good reminder to be mindful of that vibration that we're putting out because I could have just had a rest, you know, could have had a vacation.
Right. That would have been a little easier.
Sure would have, but I needed a break because that's what got my attention.
Yeah. We have to be careful with the language that we use to speak to ourselves.
Yeah.
Just like we're mindful of the language that we use when we speak to other people.
Yes.
We have to be mindful of the language that we speak to ourselves because that's what resonates more. Wow. When somebody else says something bad about you, most of the time you could blow it off. Like, they don't know me, whatever. Mm-hmm. But why is it that we say the worst things about us?
Right, right. Yes.
Like, we have to be mindful on the way that we speak to each other or ourselves.
Yeah. And it's usually, unfortunately, a lot of that's been training that we are the least kind to ourselves and oftentimes the people that are in a very close circle.
Yeah. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the book Limitless, it comes out in about a month. So you can probably pre-order it or at least go to Amazon to be able to order it and all other bookstores as well. And then you also have a freebie gift.
Yeah.
The 3 Pinky Moves Guide, Unlocking Your Freedom. So it's, I love the pinky moves. That's such a nice, simple, it's just a simple thing to remember. You know, your pinky is like just such a little thing. It's like, okay, it's just little steps, just baby steps. Mm-hmm. So that is www.pinkymoves. That's pretty easy to remember. Pinkymoves.com. And you can grab the 3-step guide to unlocking your freedom by Brisa as well. So you have another area. So you do the coaching for stroke survivors. And then you also have a community called Be Greater Gear. And one of the things you have on there, and I'm just curious because when I went on, I'm like, okay, what does that mean? It's got some kind of equation on the shirt. And so those of you that aren't into algebra might not know what it means, but what does it mean, Brisa?
Okay. So first of all, I'm really bad with math. So it has nothing to do with math. But one day, you know, with all the craziness that's going on and I'm all about positivity and I'm all about loving everybody. So I was watching the news and I was just getting depressed and it was sad. It was like all the things that are going on in the world. It was making me a little crazy.
Sure.
So I started writing and my boyfriend or fiance.
Fiance, newly engaged. Congratulations.
Thank you. So he saw me writing and he asked me, what are you doing? And I said, no, hold on. I'm doing something here. And he saw me write this equation and I set it out to him and he was like, wow, that's awesome. And so we made it on t-shirts and we just have it and see if you can figure it out. So I will do it the opposite. Subtract division. Let me see. Subtract division, multiply equality. Be greater.
Oh, be greater. That's what the be greater. Okay. I had the other, I kind of got the vibe up, but I'm like, what's the other? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so, there's the answer on the back.
Yeah.
I wish they would have had that in tests in school too.
It makes you think, right? Yeah. So I love it that our customers, I mean, we've shipped all around the world mm-hmm. and our customers tell us these amazing stories on how, you know, when they're wearing the shirt, people are trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And once they get it, they're like, wow, that's so cool. So I don't know. I really feel like that can go a long way. And it goes with my brand, Be Greater. And that's what I really want to focus on. Like, just be greater, you mm-hmm. know?
Absolutely. I love it. So you can go, if anybody's interested in shirts, you guys, you can go to, is it BeGreater.com, right?
It's Be Greater Gear.
Oh, be BeGreaterGear.com.
Yeah, there's other stuff. There's hats.
Got all kinds of people typing stuff in there for us. So somebody will put it in the comments so they can all see it. So that's beautiful. Yeah. Okay, Brisa, so now I have just some off-the-cuff questions for you.
Yeah,
sure. Just fun, playful ones. What was your first job?
My first job. So my parents own a restaurant, and it's a small Mexican restaurant in Apple Valley. Mm. It has my name in it, Las Brisas.
Ah. So,
I came first, the restaurant came after, but the restaurant name was always in my dad's head. So before the restaurant, I came first. So I got the name. And then the restaurant came later.
Gotcha.
But it's a Mexican restaurant. And I grew up in the restaurant. So I was a little girl taking chips and salsa to your table.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Now is the restaurant still going? Mm-hmm. Okay, beautiful. Now, something that you don't know, we have something in common because I also had a fast food restaurant named after me. So I came first also, but the fast food restaurant when I was 9, my dad had a malt and burger shop, malt fries and shakes, and it was called Sonny's. So little publicity there, huh?
Yeah, I love it. Thank you.
Okay. Do you have a quote? I know you have a lot of different messages, but do you have a specific quote that you live by?
The one that resonates the most with me, and I repeated it earlier, but I'll say it again.
Thank you.
It's from Lisa Nichols, mm-hmm. and she says, the first step is to ask. Make a command to the universe and let the universe respond to your thoughts.
Beautiful. Yes, I love it. I love it. What is one of your proudest moments?
My proudest moments. Oh, I got to single that down to one. I guess believing in myself that I can do it.
Yeah.
Because I think if I didn't believe in myself, I wouldn't be in front of you today.
For sure.
Having this beautiful conversation with you, Sunny. So
yeah,
I think believing in myself. Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. Do you have any kind of funky obsession that you like to, that you focus on, that you're willing to share?
Yes. So I have an addiction to sloths. I love sloths. I don't know why. I think it's because when I was recovering, I was very slow. Save my sloth. I was very slow. I walked slow. I got in the car slow. If my family was going to go to the store, I was slow. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, my boyfriend's giving me my fiance. Sorry, baby. More sloths.
More sloths.
But yeah, so I was very slow in my recovery. And as a joke, my family and, you know, we would all just say, I'm sorry, I'm a sloth. I'll be there. Don't wait for me. I'll get there. Mm-hmm. So it was just a joke, ongoing thing. I was a sloth. And now I love sloths.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder, it'd be interesting to see what the animal totem message is around a sloth. Because, you know, they all have, there's always symbolism behind them. And right. It's not one I've ever thought about. So, but I'm sure that there's some purpose behind there that's more than just that piece.
That's interesting. I'm going to look that up.
Yes. Yeah, that's awesome. All right. If you were going to do a TED Talk, mm-hmm. but you could not do it on a subject that you know very well, just one that you're interested in, what would it be?
One that I'm interested in. I'm interested in tiny homes.
Oh.
I will stay up late watching YouTube videos of tiny homes. I love tiny homes.
Now, is that because you like to be organized and you just like little minimal space, or is it just a fascination with it?
Well, I've always lived in tiny spaces. Like when I lived in New York, it was small. And when I lived in Santa Monica, it was small. So I love small areas. Mm-hmm. And then when I started seeing tiny home, I'm like blown away at the amount of creativity they put into this small little domain. And I just love when two things will turn into three things or four things. And it's like, you know, I love all that, like transformer houses. Like, that's what I call them.
So are you, do you want one, or do you just like to watch them? Like, is that something that you want?
Oh yeah. I live in one. Yeah. Well, right now it's just a, what are they called?
RV.
Yeah.
An RV.
Fifth wheel. Travel trailer. So, and I love it. I love it. We get to travel. We get to go, like, this weekend or tonight, today, actually, we'll be in San Diego, and we're staying down there for a week. So I love the little, like, Jason keeps talking to me about, you know, maybe we can have like a little house and then the trailer. And I'm like, no, I just want a little place. And I want to go everywhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I actually love our, so I have an RV and I travel a lot in it, and we do a lot of events. Yeah, it's one of my favorite things to do as well, be able to just go and check out new places. And I like the little space, but I have to have a big space to put all my other stuff in. So
That's the only challenge, but other than that, I mean, I could live in small spaces. I love it.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. Last question, my friend. If you had a message that you wanted to leave with our audience today, although you've been very inspiring and I'm seeing all the comments that are saying, oh my goodness, you have such a beautiful, inspiring story. But if you wanted to leave one message with them, what would it be, my friend?
Oh my gosh. One. Remove any doubt.
Yeah.
And whatever it is that you're trying to do, just remove your doubt. I feel like that's the moment. Before even moving my pinky, I had to remove my doubt. Mm-hmm. I had to know, like I know that I could do it. And I removed any doubt. And that was the beginning of stages of moving my pinky. So yes, you want to move your pinky and get to that point, but before you get to that point, you got to remove doubt. So
yeah, that's absolutely true. And that's in any area of our lives. It doesn't matter if it's your health or if it's your finances or if it's relationship, is you really got to get so hyper focused on the outcome. Yeah, that's beautiful. Oh, my friend, it was so great to meet you and spend the time with you. I loved every second of it. Thank you very much.
Likewise. Thank you for having me.
You bet.
It's been exciting. I was telling Jason, I'm like so excited. I was looking at your Instagram and you're so aligned with everything that I love. And
yeah, I know. That's why I'm like, we got the same stories going on.
I love it.
Yeah, thank you very much. And for those of you that are watching, again, you can check out our book Limitless on Amazon. You probably can pre-order it usually. And if not, keep an eye out for it. And
you could go to BreeSalfaro.com and you'll get it.
I was just going to say, if you want to go to BreeSalfaro.com, which I think somebody put in the links here, then you can go and get all the information about all her good stuff and her freebie, and go get to know her, because she is obviously not only a miracle walking, but what an inspiring woman. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you so much for listening to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you gained some knowledge, if you felt a connection, if you got some ahas or insight into this thing we call life, if you feel like you're a little more elevated than you were before you listened to this podcast, then please subscribe to this podcast. And if you're already signed up, please rate and review it. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to get more information about me and what I have to offer, go to my website, sunnydonjohnston.com. Thanks so much, my friend.